Well, movies are better than sex as far as I'm concerned, so.
Next time he's trying to get me to watch something. I don't know, Ken. You might want to watch that. It's better than sex.
You already told me I was gonna. Yeah, I'm already prepared for that. Since you had to watch Soul Surfer.
Which is not the world's first blaxploitation beach movie.
Which is really too damn bad. Alright, who are we?
I'm Justin Souther.
Yeah, you
are. You're Ken Henke.
Yep.
We're Mountain Express critics. We're also Elitist Bastards.
Yes, we
who
are.
Have been to the movies.
Yeah, it's just sort of like by magic. We tumbled into the movies and saw some. And now we're coming to you from
Carolina Asheville. And South Asheville, because they have put a sign up that says
South Asheville. I've seen it. I've seen it. A very fancy sign.
But it's like still a barber pole. Skyland.
But yes, it's South Asheville.
Skyland.
All right, let's do these stupid reviews.
Let's do it.
All right, I saw Arthur.
I didn't. Okay, next.
You're lucky. Next. No, it's Arthur is perfectly.
Is it King Arthur?
No, this is Arthur. No.
Russell Brand is King Arthur.
The Russell Brand is King Arthur.
Arthur.
As they said it in that awful King Arthur movie. It was the first Cockney King Arthur. No, this is.
Wouldn't they speak Old English then?
I don't know. I think
they speak Middle English.
I have no idea. I wasn't there. They said things like "ye oldie," but you know, beyond that, I don't know. Anyway,
there was something. What was it that? Sorry, I don't remember. No, it was.
Trying to talk about a movie he hadn't seen. He can't shut up.
Maybe it was Your Highness. It ends by saying "thy end," which doesn't make sense because
it should be
"the end." It means "your end." If it's "thy end,"
your
there
end.
Was something that there was some movie that I saw recently that had that, and it made.
Well, it sounds like Your Highness from everything you've told me, which we'll get to that in a moment.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Arthur.
It's a remake of the 1981 Dudley Moore film. The Dudley Moore film was not that great, but it was better than this. The Dudley Moore film worked by pairing him with John Gielgud, who kind of took the place of Peter Cook. And to me, Dudley Moore was always a little bit at sea without Peter Cook. Russell Brand is okay, but he's not sympathetic. Helen Mirren, unfortunately, has to be both John Gielgud and the thing that make you like Arthur, and that's just too much to ask of anyone, even Helen Mirren. As filmmaking, it's about on par with the first film, which was not all that exciting. I didn't mind sitting through it, and that's the absolute best I can say about it. It's, you know, I'll never sit through it again. I can't recommend anybody do sit, you know, but it's just, it's a classic case of, yeah, it was there. I saw it. That's fine. I wasn't banging my head on the seat in front of me. It wasn't like Hop or anything like that, for God's sake, but you know, it just wasn't. It's negligible. Negligible.
You also saw Hannah.
I did see Hannah. Have you seen Hannah yet? Well,
when
I don't I, know.
I
have no
Hannah
idea.
Again.
You might have gone. Hannah. Yes, Hannah. Hannah is an interesting film. It comes from art house director Joe Wright. Well, two art house movies and then The Soloist. Is there a human sacrifice going on down there? Anyway. It's entertaining. It's artsy. It's an arty action film. It's what you ended up with. I liked it. I'm not sure how much I liked it. It's very stylish. The action scenes are surprisingly well done for somebody who isn't known for action. The biggest problem with it for me is that by the time we're in the last 15 minutes of it, I not only knew how it was going to end, I knew exactly how it was going to end. And I was right. And that was kind of... There were things within those 15 minutes that I liked, but I knew exactly where we were going and how it was going to be handled. So, you know, it's good. It ain't great. It could have been great. There are things in it that are great. But it's probably the best plain action movie I've seen this year, with a little sci-fi bent. The thing that's kind of surprising about the cast, you know, the acting was good. The girl whose name I will not attempt to pronounce, which I'm, you know, going to leave that alone, is exceptionally good. Eric Bana is fine. He's as unexciting as ever, but he's fine. I don't think I've ever seen Cate Blanchett be this just plain evil. There's nothing likable about her at any point in this entire movie. And she seems to be enjoying that. Did you want to do one of yours? Did you want to do Soul Surfer?
I guess.
Okay.
It's the best faith-based surf movie I've ever seen.
There's a breakout quote for you.
It's not as good as Surf Ninjas, though.
How about Surf Nazis Must Die?
I haven't seen that.
Neither have I, but it's a great title.
Let's talk about Surf Ninjas instead.
We can talk about beach party movies instead and probably be better off.
The one, granted, I was like 10 when it came out, but that's probably still the only Rob Schneider movie I liked. Surf Ninjas. This guy can tell the future in his Game Boy.
You know, you spend extra time in purgatory for liking any Rob Schneider movie. I just want you to be prepared for this.
He's just like third build. He's not. Leslie Nielsen's in that too.
You're not making a case for yourself here. You know, this isn't getting any better.
It's a movie about ninjas who surf. What do you?
Yeah, well,
what
that's...
Are you expecting quality?
I want to hear about ninjas who get their arm bitten off by sharks and surf.
Well, I can't talk about ninjas. No. She's no ninja. She's just all-American girl.
You know, the problem I have with it is when looking for a still for this thing...
Uh-huh.
All the women look alike to me. They're all just these blonde beach girls. There's nothing, I can't distinguish her from...
She's the one with one arm, Ken.
Yeah, but they don't have any photos with one arm.
Because the special effects are really bad, that's why.
That's what I figured, yeah.
It's even worse when she's surfing, and it's this obvious body double, and her face is sort of like gently moving.
Spoken like a man who didn't sit through Blue Crush.
Nope.
God, that has some of the worst put to head on the other person surfing with... What is that? Is that Kate Bosworth?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was grim.
It's a Christian surfer.
No, wait a minute. What is Soul Surfer?
Well, it's not...
Get it right.
It's not a blaxploitation beach movie. It is...
What a disappointment.
A Christian tract about the true meaning of surfing, I think. This is about this girl who loses her arm.
That's careless.
Probably because she doesn't go on a mission trip. They don't really explicitly say that. But if she had gone on this mission trip to Mexico,
she wouldn't have been
would
in
have
the position
arm.
for the shark
yep.
to eat her arm.
So,
does he eat part of the surfboard too?
Yeah.
Okay, because
when the
ads have this surfboard with a big chunk taken
out
of
well,
it.
Well, it comes back later because somebody catches the shark and they have the shark hanging upside down from a crane. You know, like the Jaws ride.
We punish this shark is what we're doing.
No, it's dead already.
Oh well, that is punishing.
Somebody caught it. But Dennis Quaid goes and takes the surfboard and puts it up to the shark's mouth.
To see.
To know. Instead of taking his daughter's nub.
So he starts. So what does he do? Start punching the fish, wanting his daughter's arm back?
Why?
I mean,
already.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just so they know.
Is this movie as stupid as I think it is?
Well, I think it's so you don't spend the rest of the movie expecting the shark to come back. Because I honestly.
I could easily see spending the rest of the movie praying for the shark to come back.
No, it doesn't. No, there's no other. Wildlife in the
other
film.
Than Anna Sophia Robb,
right? More like Helen Hunt. She's looking a bit rough these days.
Yeah, well, you know, time's passing.
You can see Helen Hunt surf and Dennis Quaid. It looks like they might actually be surfing. I don't know.
No,
that's
or at possible.
Least pretending.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Frankie and Annette surf?
Wow,
it's a model. You know, just. They just, like, stand like this while we have a rear screen of waves behind you.
What?
It's prime bad stuff.
So, surf... Solar...
Soul yeah. Surfer. Say it right. No. You just won't do it. I know.
Soul Surfer is not a good movie.
Is it not a good movie, or is it so not a good movie?
It's just dull and stupid. Uplifting.
Like Across Your Heart Bra is uplifting?
No.
No. Okay.
Much less exciting than that. I also saw Your Highness.
Yeah?
That was a different kind of stupid.
Yeah?
Because this is just dumb.
Yeah?
That's really all I had to say. This is just dumb.
Is this the end of anybody having any respect whatsoever for David Gordon Green?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's doing, what he thinks he's doing, or... But they all seem to be having fun. Good for them, I guess.
He's hanging out with his buddy Danny McBride and getting stoned and, you know, and making a movie from something that they thought of when they were stoned in college. Whoopee.
It's just a normal Save the Princess fantasy tale, but it has...
Stoner jokes.
Stoner jokes and sex humor and a minotaur penis.
As opposed to a miniature penis.
Right.
Okay.
That's pretty big.
Is
it's it? Impressive.
Well, I would think a minotaur would have a pretty impressive one, but,
well,
you know.
That's racist. But...
Yeah, I want my minotaurs hung. You know, I don't want...
It's just...
Embarrassing it's minotaur just, willy. What is that, you know?
It's basically just one joke. It's not a good joke.
Not a good joke?
No, it's just not. It's a really...
But it stuck in your mind that there was a minotaur dick joke.
But that will always stick in my mind. Well, it's about 15 minutes worth of minotaur
dick jokes. There are worse places
jokes.
It could stick, I suppose.
So, yeah, it's not good. Believe it or not.
I've kind of figured that out.
And I didn't even mind, like, Pineapple Express. I was fine with that.
Pineapple Express was moderately entertaining. But
and I was willing to allow this to be moderately entertaining, but it's just...
This was just moderately bad. Or is it really bad?
It's insanely dumb. Like, I can't understand why anybody thought it was a good idea, but most of these movies... Are bad ideas.
Yeah, I spend a good portion of the year going, who thought this was a good idea? We should perhaps go on to the conspirator, which was the real highlight of my movie watching week. And as
is
far
it good?
As,
is it good?
It's good. It's a very good, solid. I mean, here's the thing. You know, bear in mind, Robert Redford is not an exciting filmmaker.
Right.
It's.
Mel Gibson.
It's a fairly solid. I mean, it's solid. It's well made. It's well photographed. Beautifully acted story of the trial, if it can be called the trial, of Mary Surratt, who was tried for being an accomplice in the conspiracy to assassinate Lincoln because her son was. And then meetings took place in her boarding house. She was not given a civil trial. She did not have a jury. She was given a military trial. And that's essentially what the film is about. It's about that. It's about due process. It's about the fact that, you know, your main character, James McAvoy, your main character besides Mary Surratt is Robin Wright, actually understands by the end of it, even though it virtually comes to destroy him, you know, it certainly destroys his law career. Although he went on to found the Washington Post, that it really didn't matter whether she was innocent or guilty. What mattered was she did not get what she was by law, by the Constitution. She did not get what she was entitled to. And yes, the comparisons and parallels to Guantanamo Bay are obvious, and you know they're Redford. It's going to be a liberal slant film. Face it. But
oh, wait, he made that Tom Cruise movie. That's the last thing he made.
Yeah, and that was also liberal slant.
Right.
And was not nearly as good of a film as this is.
Because Tom Cruise isn't in it?
Tom Cruise is actually one of the better things about that film.
Okay.
Because Tom Cruise can play sleazy like nobody's business. I don't think he has to work at it. Maybe that's a bad thing to say. So, anyway, no, I really strongly recommend it. It's entertaining. It will probably piss you off, and which is kind of interesting that you can be pissed off about something from 150 years ago. And I, you know, I mean, it's... Once again, I am also find myself absolutely and completely amazed by Evan Rachel Wood, who is never the same person two times. I don't think I've ever seen any actress who has a more diverse, you know, I have no impression of her. There is no... She really disappears into whatever character she's playing. And that surprises me, because I would not have thought that. But she does. Invaders from Mars. You don't know about Invaders from Mars, but we are showing at 8 o'clock on Thursday in the very place we are now, the Cinema Lounge, at the very theater we are now, the Carolina, on the very road we are now, which is Hendersonville Road. Does that cover it?
Yes.
Well, you want to get the Skyland-Asheville controversy again? Okay.
You covered it all.
All right.
I think. I was paying attention.
And Invaders from Mars is a really fascinating, interestingly made, well-made in some respects, colossally stupid in most respects, and probably father to a million nightmares for children who've seen it over the years. I mean, it was probably, you know, I thought that it you know, had something to do with it. There's this big thing about the film where the Martians land in the sand pit behind this house. And when people go out there to investigate, you hear this wordless chorus, and the sand starts opening up, and they disappear. And then when they come back, they reappear later. They aren't themselves. And when I was a kid, I thought that probably the reason that it had the impact on me that it did was I grew up in Florida. I spent the entire time after that film for a while not wanting to walk through an orange grove because I was sure the sand was going to woo-woo-woo up and suck me down and, you know, put one of these things to mind control me. But, I mean, it also is, it's a film that is I think what it works on children, because it's so easy to believe that you had seen this, nobody takes you seriously, you know something is wrong, your parents are all of a sudden different after they've gone out to the sand pit. In fact, you know, the kid's father backhands him at one point. It's really sort of weird. And the film is done with these, they're cheaply done, stylized sets with forced perspective so that everything the kid experiences is bigger than it would actually be in real life, and plainer and more menacing. And in that respect, it's, you know, brilliant. And the overall feeling is brilliant. At the same time, it has these really cheesy Martians. They're big green men with obvious masks on and zippers up their backs. The supreme intelligence is kind of creepy. It's this head with tentacles in a globe that the Martians carry around, the mutants, the big guys with the furry costumes. And it doesn't ever say anything. It conveys everything through thought, so, which probably makes it even more creepy. It's a film that you'll laugh at, and at the same time you'll admire. Although, some of the stuff that you'll laugh at, boy, will you laugh at. Because some of it is way cheesy, especially all the stock shots of tanks and dumb things like this, and, you know, people under the Martian control going to blow up things, which is kind of... It kind of has that... you can read the film if you want to as a fear of communist takeover. But if it is, the script makes it obviously, you know, makes it very clear that whatever is taking over is a hell of a lot smarter than we are. So if you view it as a communist takeover, it's by people who thought that we were so dumb that the communists could take us over and that they were so much smarter than we were. So I think it's really kind of pushing it to take that. I don't think that the people who made it had any sort of political parallels going on in their minds at all.
All right, and let's talk about Astral Film Society.
Yes, what are we showing?
We're showing The Dreamers.
Yes.
By Bernardo Bertolucci.
And we're showing it when?
Tuesday at 8.
Yes.
In the lounge. And so is Carolina.
On Hendersonville Road.
Yes, yes.
In Asheville / Skyland.
I'm falling asleep.
Justin is falling asleep. He will not fall asleep during the Dreamers, however, I can assure you, because it makes him uncomfortable.
It made me uncomfortable. When did this movie come out?
2003.
It made me uncomfortable 8 years ago.
We may not have had it in town until 2004, though.
It made me uncomfortable 7 years ago.
And then again, you may not have seen it. For...
I saw it at the Fine Arts.
Okay. Upstairs, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Yeah. So let's find out why did it make you uncomfortable. Tell me about this film.
It made me uncomfortable. I don't even know why. Like, it's just sort of like...
The sex is really in your face. The sex also deals with incest and subverted homosexuality.
And it wasn't like gross. It's just
it's not
something.
Gross, but there's something about the fact that Bartolucci gets the camera in close. I mean, you see close-ups of Michael Pitt's Willie. You see close-ups of Eva Green's thingy.
I believe the term is vagina.
Ken's a gynecologist. Don't correct him.
That's right. You know, and I can see how that would, you know, make young Justin. How old would you have been then?
20, 21.
Yeah, exactly. I can see how that would, you know. I looked at it and it was like, oh, gee, this is like my life in 1977. Take the incest out, please. But otherwise, it was kind of like too much. Just, you know, looked pretty normal to me. You know, for that age group.
So what's the film about?
It's about an American exchange student, Michael Pitt, who is in France in 1968, and a lot of it has to do with the whole Cinematheque experience and the government shutting it down and people actually rioting over movies, for God's sake, which is, I think, great. And he is befriended by Eva Green, who also goes to the screenings, and she and her brother, who have an incestuous infatuation that they can't work on, make him a friend, and they bring him home, and he starts to live with them. And the whole thing is that the brother also has an apparent attraction to Michael Pitt, as well as to his sister. And it's kind of like Michael Pitt could be the non-taboo vessel that would allow them to consummate an act they can't themselves undertake. And a lot of it is about people who live through dreams they have picked up from movies. You know, they're not in their own dreams, they're living on other people's dreams. And it's very disturbing, and I think very fine. And I don't mean it's disturbing in a bad way.
All right, let's get through the upcomers real quick. Coming up this week.
Rio.
At Last Smug.
All right, that's all. Win-win.
So what do you think about Atlas Shrugged?
The book or this movie?
The idea of this movie.
Well,
my
first off...
doesn't work on...
Yeah, I said, yeah, okay. Well, personally, I think the whole Ayn Randian philosophy is something that you should be enticed by at the age of 16 and over by the age of 17. Anybody who takes it beyond that, I got serious questions about because it's ridiculous. But if the movie had to be made, I don't think it needed to be made this way. It was made on the cheap so the guy wouldn't lose the rights to the book. So basically you've got somebody here who's cashing in on Ayn Rand's work, which I don't think she would approve of, with a movie that has been split in, her book has been split into three parts. The other two parts will never be made unless this one is successful. It's being distributed by Rocky Mountain Pictures, best known for bringing out Expelled, the procreation so-called documentary with Ben Stein. Ayn Rand, I think, would be absolutely appalled by the whole thing. And yet, they're marketing it. Well, actually, they're trying to market it to Tea Party people. That's who they've got it aimed at. And the thing about it is Ayn Rand would almost certainly have been horrified by the Tea Party. She would think of them as the hoi polloi. This is her philosophy is not an everyman thing. It is extremely elitist. It's everybody at the top and everybody else is in servitude to us. And she has definitely placed herself at the top. I don't know why, because until she wrote the couple books that she wrote that were popular, she was a low-rent screenwriter for a while at Paramount. You know, churning out things like a psychotic love story and things like, you know, it was not, you know, where she got off on thinking that she was, you know, the shit, I don't know. And that she would be at the top of the... Of course, most people who go for this sort of thing think mystifyingly and based on no possible evidence that if it actually came into being, they would be one of the people at the top. It's just not going to... It's nonsense.
So you're looking forward to the film?
In a way. I am more looking forward to all of the Randys who come looking for my head after it.
What's Jeremy making a poster out of this week?
You don't want to know.
Because I really want the cover of Atlas Shrugged with your head on it.
No. Maybe next week.
It says Hanky Shrugged.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hanky Smug would be
What about Rio?
What about Rio?
It's some stupid-looking animated movie about a bird. It's a parrot.
A macaw, actually.
That's a parrot,
yeah,
right?
It's a kind of...
Well,
yeah.
No, I'm not wrong. Don't correct me. I said parrot. I didn't say ostrich.
That's true. You did not say ostrich.
It's a movie about an emu. An ocelot.
Is this some sort of like interspecies romance you're dreaming of here?
And so this has got Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes, as Jesse Eisenberg.
It's got his voice
in bird
anyway.
Form.
And Anne Hathaway's voice in bird form.
Larry Bird's face
and
bird form.
Will I Am and George Lopez and.
That sounds terrible. From the creators of Ice Age.
Yes, which. You see, you know more about Ice Age movies than I do because you've actually sat through at least one.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I can watch it.
Yeah, and you
I don't want you to feel out of place.
I would have felt very out of place. You know, you could have had Atlas Shrugged, but have you read it?
No.
Okay, I have.
Well, that's your fault.
It's a great book about trains. What can I tell you?
All right.
Sort of he was using that as an excuse to win the next Dan Brown adaptation. He read the Da Vinci Code.
After the fact, yeah. I saw the movie first.
Certified Copy.
Certified Copy is a movie that should have been reviewed this week, but the distributor screwed up and didn't get screeners out, or they sent them to the wrong place, or something. Anyway, I didn't get the screener. And it's first... Now, I don't think it's English language. Maybe part of it's English language. Not having seen it, I don't know. It's the first non-Iranian film by the filmmaker, whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. It's something like Abbas Kiarostami. It stars Juliette Binoche as a French woman, who is in Tuscany, who runs into this British author on art forgeries and real pieces of art, who is there on a book tour, and she offers to take him on a tour of the area. And they go to a hotel and are mistaken for husband and wife, and for some mysterious reason decide to play along. And the longer the film goes on, apparently, the more it becomes difficult to discern if maybe they really aren't husband and wife, and this is some sort of play-acting thing they do. It's apparently fairly light, humorous. It probably has some sort of deeper side, but it's probably, if you make movies in Iran, it's probably a real treat to come out into the Western world and, you know, make a movie where the characters can kiss and you know, flirt and things like that. It's probably a real treat to you, you know? It's got to be something... to revel in. It looks really good. The reviews are really good. I'm looking forward to it.
Scream 4.
What about it?
It's happening.
Yes, it is.
I haven't even seen a trailer for Scream 4. Have you?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Okay.
It might have been
I don't have a clue.
It could have been a trailer for Scream 2. I don't know.
I don't have a clue who's in this, what it's about.
It's a sequel to Scream.
I know. It's got that guy.
Except maybe it's kind of a reboot, too. It's all very confusing. Anyway, it's a new Wes Craven film. And I just don't see how you can do this after Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I don't. Because every time I look at this, all I can think of is the thing in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back where Ghostface is about to stab... What's her name? Yeah, Shannon Doherty. And it turns out that Ghostface is an orangutan. And she turns on Craven going, "Jesus, Wes, you don't even try anymore. These are our marketing people tell us that monkeys are popular." You know, and really, I don't... I'm going to be sadly disappointed if it doesn't turn out that Ghostface is an orangutan. And I think this means I'm going to be sadly disappointed, don't you? I was afraid of that.
You deserve it.
And then win-win. Bitch.
Sorry. No, I was calling him a bitch. That's fine. Win-win. Win-win is a highly regarded. It's got like a 92-94% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. A film from Tom McCarthy, I think his name is, who did The Station Agent and The Visitor. It's Paul Giamatti, who is an insolvent and not necessarily very scrupulous lawyer whose law firm is on the brink. And one of his clients is slipping into senility. So he makes himself the man's guardian, puts the man in a home, and keeps himself solvent with the man's money, which would be fine, except that the man's supposedly... Well, first off, the man's grandson shows up, and then apparently his just-out-of-rehab alcoholic mother shows up. So it becomes complicated. It's mostly a comedy.
I thought it was about high school wrestling.
Well, for some reason, Paul Giamatti is a high school wrestling coach in his off hours, which I'm not sure the film may make clear why that is, except for the fact that that's what he does with the... he turns the grandson into a wrestler. And it's very highly rated. I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know if I'm looking forward to it as much as I am Certified Copy, but I am looking forward to it. I've liked the guy's first two films, or the other two films anyway. I think I like The Station Agent better than The Visitor, but still, you know. And it just looks like it would have a pretty good appeal.
All right, I guess we're going to sign this off. I think we need to make Justin sign it off.
Yeah, Justin needs to sign it off so he'll wake up.
No, I'm just going to fall
asleep. He's going to sit here for the rest of the evening during
this. I can sign it off. I can just tell you guys who you are.
Who are we?
You're Ken Hanke and Justin Souther.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one?
You both write.
Can you tell us apart?
They squint really hard sometimes. You're both writers from Mad Express. You're both film critics. You're exceptional film critics, in fact, from Mad Express. Who are the kind of
people? We are the only film critics for the Mount Express, so we'd have
to... Well, you're devaluing it now.
There's former film critics.
There are former film critics, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And out of all of them, I'd say that you guys are the pinnacle. Oh. You're really...
That's that game you play with a funny deck of cards, isn't it?
And you're brought to you by the... You're brought to our listeners by the Mount Express.
Yes.
The courtesy of the Mount Express.
The courtesy, the kindness, the altruistic qualities.
They are quite generous.
They are.
To get us to do this for free.
That is true. Yeah, that is also very true.
From the bottom of their hearts.
That's true.
We're going to make you podcasting stars. It's happening. Piece by piece.
Yeah.
Piece by piece.
A few more years and
we'll be solvent. Well, maybe that's asking too much.
Yeah.
Still doing it for free.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm...
Well, Jeff lights cigars with $100 bills from us.
You know, I only wish that were true. That would be almost make it worthwhile. But in any case...
And so I'm Steve Schanefeld, your coherer / producer. And until next time, you are...
I'm Justin Zander. Oh, wait.
We're elitist bastards. Yeah, I don't give a shit about you on an individual basis. But together, we're...
Pineapple Steve Schanefeld.
Pineapple. Pineapple Miami, the Colonel Steve Schanefeld.